This is the Quality News Network. The world is paying tribute today to operatic tenor Luciano Pavarotti, who died this morning in Italy. The 71-year-old had pancreatic cancer. Syria's news agency says Israeli warplanes crashed into Syrian territory this morning and bombed unidentified targets. No word yet on casualties or damage. Israel did not deny the report but refused comment. German authorities say they're searching for 10 more men involved in the Islamic terrorist plot to attack Frankfurt Airport and the U.S. Ramstein Air Force Base. Three alleged ringleaders in the plot were arrested yesterday. Federal auditors are expected to release a report today sharply critical of the Department of Homeland Security. The Government Accountability Office analysis says the department has failed to reach more than half of its stated goals. U.S. and Iraqi forces have launched a massive operation targeting al-Qaeda in northern Iraq. At least 26,000 troops are involved. Today, six insurgents were killed and another 25 arrested. Baghdad authorities say clashes between insurgents and U.S. and Iraqi special forces this morning killed at least 14 and destroyed 11 houses. The Pentagon says 40 militants were killed in a 12-hour battle yesterday in southern Afghanistan. NATO-led forces say they've killed at least 200 insurgents in the region in the last 2 weeks. 16 Saudi Arabian prisoners released from Guantanamo Bay arrived in Riyadh today. Pressure to release the country's captives increased when two Saudi prisoners hung themselves in June. In Nicaragua, the death toll from Hurricane Felix has reached 38, with another 60 people reported missing. The remains of the Category 5 storm dump rain throughout Central America. The Nevada National Guard this morning continues to search an area the size of Connecticut for millionaire adventurer Steve Fawcett. The 63-year-old disappeared Monday on a solo flight in his small plane. Christian broadcaster D. James Kennedy has died of complications from a heart attack. He was 76. Gold is trading at $695.30 an ounce. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and Business next.
Looking to find the best in the USA? Come to Boulevards.com. We're the best address in city guides across the U.S. For the best information in travel, Boulevards.com gives you the most up-to-date choices for the best in dining, hotels, entertainment, adventure, and exciting tips to make your holiday the best it can be. Whether you're a local or just looking for great getaway tips, go to Boulevards.com and get the best. Be independent of search engines. Make your choices. We're Boulevards.com. Come visit us at SanFrancisco.com, SanJose.com, Carmel.com, WashingtonDC.com, PaloAlto.com, Seattle.com, Oakland.com, SanAntonio.com, Denver.com, and many more. We are Boulevards.com, the best in your visiting the USA. Come visit us at Boulevards.com.
In Washington, D.C., tens of thousands of Chinese-made condoms distributed in an anti-AIDS campaign have been rejected. The packaging of the prophylactics have been found to be defective. Ground beef sold in New England Shaw supermarkets have been recalled because of possible contamination with E. coli. The 85% lean ground beef patties were produced by Fairbanks Farms. Upscale clothing retailer Saks has settled charges with the SEC, closing the agency's investigation into Saks' illegal tactics of withholding payments to the nation's top designers. The federal regulators say Saks was able to inflate its earnings by doing so. The European Central Bank kept interest rates at 4% when the agency met today in Germany. The bank also pumped $57.4 billion into the financial system. Volkswagen will move from Detroit to Virginia, investing $100 million and importing 400 jobs to its new North American headquarters. Those 400 jobs will be subtracted from Michigan's employment rolls. Light sweet crude is trading at $76.16 a barrel. Silver is trading at $12.44 an ounce on the New York Mercantile Exchange. You can find more on our website at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Annabelle Lund.
Chicago, the city with many names, it's the Cup of Joe Radio Show. 2 hours of truth and fury representing the fighting spirit of the American worker. And now, through the miracle of screaming audio, here's the guy your bosses hate, the Windy City's biggest windbag, your host, Joe Vecchio.
All right, everybody, time to wake the hell up. It's time once again for the Cup of Joe Radio Show. And yes, I'm live again today after a day's being off from the show. Actually, I was working late at my shop. Now I got to explain, prior to me being off for a couple weeks because of the move and all that stuff. Oh, get out of here. God, dog, I hate that. I'm just getting started, and Apple's got a software update for me right this second. Pain in the ass. What the hell was I saying? Yeah, when I was on the air before I had to move, my job was from 3 to 11 p.m. And so I do the show, you know, I wake up in the morning, I do the show, and then maybe I take a little nap and I go to work, okay? And now I work from 11 p.m. to 7 a.m., so instead of waking up to do the show and being groggy and tired and trying to wake up, now I'm coming home from work and doing the show, and I'm groggy and tired from having worked an 8-hour day. So I'm trying to get used to all this new schedule and everything, so you'll excuse me if I seem a little off-kilter sometimes. And granted, with me being off-kilter normally, that's not an easy thing to do. So I'm sitting here with my little makeshift desk here, just trying to make sure that I give you guys a good show for your money, which is, you know, considering you guys aren't paying anything to listen, that's what you expect. How is everybody doing today? I'm sitting here. It's a beautiful day in Chicago, and I'm sitting here, and I'm looking out my window where I got my desk, and there's two pigeons doing the nasty right out there, and I've been looking at this spectacle for the last couple of days or so. They've just been kind of hanging out. And they got a little, they have another spot across, if I go to the bathroom, from the bathroom window there, you can see where they had a nest. So sometimes we get to see, I got to see an egg being laid there. You know, and I've seen pigeons all my life, but I've never seen pigeons doing it, and I've never seen pigeons nesting before. And actually, I never thought about it, but pigeons don't nest in trees, do they? They kind of nest in the buildings. They're kind of used to that. And here in Chicago, the pigeons are, I don't want to say they're famous, but they're ubiquitous. They are all over the place here, much more than in a lot of other places I've seen. And pigeons and squirrels. And on my block where I live, off Rockwell, North Rockwell, just south of Devon, there are tons of trees. And we have enough squirrels and pigeons in here to make a small army if we so desired. If I had mental control of these creatures, I could rule the world. And in addition to watching the pigeons doing the nasty, I get to hear my trashy neighbors yell at each other, which is my trashy neighbors who live upstairs do constantly from 8 o'clock in the morning till 1 a.m. all day long, except for when they're out of the house. But that's all they do is yell at each other. One of the hazards of living in an apartment. Oh, God. What am I doing? Why did I have to move? You know, it just goes to show how bad your life is that you have to deal with all this trivial crap all the time. And I guess everybody kind of sort of does, but, you know, I'm just trying to get my life together. I am trying to get my life together. You know, a lot of people say, well, you're doing a radio show, so therefore you must be making lots of money and having lots of fun. Wrong. I am struggling like most people are, which is what makes my message a little bit more poignant. You know, so much has been going on, and I've been reading the news, and obviously I've been paying attention to what's been going on in the last couple of weeks or so since I've been off the air. And it just, there's just so much of it, so much bad stuff happening that it's just overwhelming to me. I mean, I can sit here and talk about the lawyer thing, the Gonzalez lawyer firing thing, the war in Iraq constantly, the Democrats wimping out on Iraq, what happened with Cindy Sheehan the other day. I mean, there's so many things going on, and you want to find time to talk about it, but, you know, first of all, everybody else is talking about it, but, and second of all, it's just so mind-bogglingly bad that you just kind of want to shut everything off and say, oh, what's on TV? And since I don't have a TV, that kind of negates that, doesn't it? But I am suffering from fatigue. Because I just can't deal with this anymore, and I don't know what I can do to help anymore, except to blather away. And I read the columns, and I added a new guy to my regular reading list on my blog. My blog, by the way, is cupojoe.blogspot.com. I added Glenn Greenwald, who was writing for Salon.com, and he's very good. And, you know, I read Paul Krugman on Monday and Friday when he's not on vacation. And I read Frank Rich on the weekend, although Frank Rich sometimes falls into the same thing. And I try not to look at the other columnists in the New York Times, because the New York Times has a bunch of columnists that are just full of it. Frank Rich and Paul Krugman are the only two guys, and Bob Herbert are the only guys that are making any really sense, and any real sense. And Bob Herbert, I think, goes overboard a little bit, but you never know. Herbert had a couple of columns about my old neighborhood of Bushwick, New York. Apparently, black kids are being arrested for walking while black. And I get to read all this, and I try to put everything in a larger perspective, and I really, really just don't know where things are going. And I would like to think things are getting better, but we on the left are so disorganized. I mean, the whole Cindy Sheehan thing, it does not surprise me, because I know how we are on the left. I mean, I was talking with Agnes Kincaid before the show. And by the way, welcome to Agnes producing today. Bob Kincaid, the great Bob Kincaid, of his own show later on this evening on Head On Network. He's been doing the hosting and trying to give Agnes a rest because she's been feeling under the weather a bit. And we, of course, all want to help each other out. But I'm glad she's back. But I was talking with her before the show, and I said, this is what the left does. And I brought up to her a book I have been reading about the 1908 baseball season, because I'm a huge baseball fan. And one of the things that I read about, and apart from just talking about the baseball, they also talk about the local situation, what was going on in the country around 1908. It was the beginning of the modern progressive movement, really, or the second beginning, actually. The real beginning goes back in the days right after the Civil War, but I don't want to talk about that. But there was, I forget her name, but there was one famous socialist leftist leader who basically, you know, left or stopped being particularly active because she was tired of going to a place where there was a half a dozen people with a dozen opinions. Or a dozen people with two dozen opinions. And I've said this before, and I just keep carping on it, that we have people on the left whose problem is they see their one particular issue, and that issue is more important than anything else. Free the Cuba 8! Free the Haiti 7! Free dope! Free porn! Ah! And if you're not with them 100% on that issue, and concern yourself only with that issue, then they don't want to know you. They don't want to see you. They don't want to talk about you. They don't want to talk to you. Now, I have my own pet issue. My pet issue is the election issue. And I think that's very important that we get a serious election reform. We change the entire way we count votes in this country and make it the most accurate that we possibly can. And I think that's extremely important because, to me, that's a foundation issue. All the other issues are valid issues. And I'm not saying we shouldn't free the Cuba 7 or that's an irrelevant issue, but you can't do the one until you do the other. That's like saying you're in favor of striking the guy out, but you don't want to go out and get a good pitcher. You have to do one before the other. And me, I do not play the games very well. I am the first to admit this. I am a lone voice in the wilderness. That I don't know how to play the game. I don't know how to talk properly to people. I talk down at them. I yell at them. And I freeze up when I argue with people because I can't believe some people believe in such stupid things that they do. And Cindy Sheehan now understands this as well as anybody else. Although she argued better. And because of that, I failed to get my point across. You know, and I don't post at Daily Coast anymore, and I don't post at Democratic Underground anymore, because they're full of idiots. Every time you post something, there's always got to be somebody who's got to say something about it in order to influence their little social standing within the clique. You're expected to hang around for 5 or 6 frickin' hours to debate the issue. Otherwise, you're accused of dumping and running, and it's remarkable that they even came up with a term for that. As if we have time. So, you know, I leave the people on Daily Coast, and I leave the people at Democratic Underground who have nothing better to do with their lives than sit and type on a keyboard all frickin' day. To type on a frickin' keyboard all frickin' day. I haven't even posted much on my blog yet. You know why? Because I've been busy trying to deal with real life. And we have to get busy dealing with our own real situation by taking a little break. And I went on a little long. Let's go ahead and take a break. If you want to give me a call and talk about this, you can give us a call at 1-304-658-5453. 1-304-658-5453. You can call the toll-free number 1-877-443-2366. And as soon as I hear the, there we go, there's the music. We'll be back with more of the Head On Radio Network here at the Cup of Joe Radio Show.
Sweetie, I love you, but those jeans have got to go.
Yeah, I know. Grab me a pair next time you go to the store, would you?
No.
Uh-huh.
I'm not going there anymore. I can't stand it.
What do you mean?
It's just awful, honey. The only smile in that building is that big yellow face. Everybody else looks miserable, and I can't find anything there that's made in our country. That bothers me.
Well, nobody makes clothes in America anymore.
Au contraire, mi amigo. There's a ton of American-made clothing at No Sweat.
Well, where's this No Sweat store? Out at the mall?
No, silly. I found them at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. There's a link there. I already ordered some great workout gear, and I also got you some new jeans. They'll be here in a couple of days. Surprise.
HeadOnRadioNetwork.com?
Uh-huh. Just click on the No Sweat banner. You're right there. Helps union workers and helps support America's other liberal network. Cool, huh?
I knew listening to the horn was a good idea.
Whose idea?
Your idea, dear. All the good ones are.
Union made? No sweat. Great prices? No sweat. Great looks? No sweat. No sweat at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. Click the banner. Do the right thing.
This is the Head On Radio Network. The Horn.
This is Billy Shears. Join me every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern on Boxed Up with John Fox. Each week, I'll feature an artist and a song with a little commentary. We'll examine why music plays such an important role in our social and political climate. We'll try and make it fun, informative, and entertaining. Join us every Friday at 11 a.m. Eastern right here on the Head On Radio Network, The Horn, with John Fox on Boxed Up. And for music with political commentary by great liberal minds, check out my website at unreportednews.net. This is Billy Shears, and hey, thanks for lending an ear.
The following is a Head On Radio Network special announcement. I'm back! That's right, the rampaging, ranting, tree-hugging, planet-saving, head-banging hippie is back at a brand new time. Boxed Up returns weekdays 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific, and late night 1 a.m. in Sydney. So set your streamer to a new Boxed Up time here on The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Thank you so
much. Have you ever been rewarded for doing the right thing, returning a lost wallet, putting your neighbor's cows back in the pasture? Maybe now is your chance. The new Conservation Security Program rewards farmers and ranchers for taking care of the land, keeping water clean and soil healthy. To see if you qualify for a Conservation Security Program payment, take the self-assessment. Contact your local Natural Resources Conservation Service office or USDA Service Center.
I can't thank you enough.
This is The Horn, the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, we're back on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, I'm your not-so-humble host, Joe Vecchio, voice of the working man, stinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Once again, a number to call in, and I do want you to call in. I do want you to talk to me. I realize it's early. especially out there in the West Coast. It's only 7:20. And maybe you're out in England, or maybe you're in Germany, or maybe you're in Asia somewhere. I get listeners from all over. But feel free to give a call. I don't know if you can call in from overseas. I don't know how you can do that. But the number to call is 1-304-658-5453 or 1-877-443-2366 to use the toll-free line. And you know, and again, let me ask people, if you're listening to the show now, and you want to get in on, you want to help the Head On Radio Network, you want to help the Cup of Joe show, it doesn't cost you a dime, because you know I don't ask for donations. If you want to buy an ad, you can buy an ad. That's a different story, and there'll be a commercial coming up for that shortly. But if you do want to help out the Head On Radio Network, we have to show how many listeners we have, and I've been getting a lot of these, and I get them from the reruns as well as from the live shows, which is great, and. But as many as I have, I still want more. So if you haven't done so yet, and if you have done so, don't do it again, because we don't want repeat emails. But if you haven't done so yet, just send me an email, joe@cupjoe.com, that's CUPJOE.com, and just in the subject put "I'm listening." You don't have to write anything, although people think sometimes, and that's nice, but you don't have to. Just write with the subject, email me with that subject, "I'm listening," joe@cupjoe.com, and then I will turn that list over to the powers that be, and that will help us get, hopefully, some sponsors, because they say, hey, you know, we get certain amount of money. I've got quite a few, so, but I'm never not satisfied. I want more. So email me, for crying out loud. What was I talking about? And, you know, and here is the thing. I sit here in the show by myself, and I really, really like it when I have somebody to talk to, when I generally don't, because I'm too lazy to go out and get interviews. And actually, it's not so much that I'm lazy, it's just that I'm busy with other stuff. I'm trying to work to get a second job just so I can make ends meet, because my first job is basically, the way it's working out now, is part-time work. And I'm flat broke most of the time. Most of the time. And Agnes, dear Agnes, she's concerned in a meeting, okay? Yeah, in a meeting, all right, you know. But, you know, and you know, you can get by on ramen noodles and stuff like that, but you really don't want to if you don't have to. Ramen noodles, rice, hot dogs, frozen cheeseburgers, frozen hamburgers, I should say. You go out and get the burgers, you fry them up. I can't eat a plain hamburger. Give me a hamburger, I won't eat it. I got to have cheese on it. Glad I'm not an Orthodox Jew, because I love me some cheeseburgers. And, you know, it's funny talking about that, because a lot of liberals, or at least, I don't want to say a lot, I don't know the number, but I know, being in the liberal mindset, you get a lot more people who are vegetarians than are, say, Republicans. And I'm not a vegetarian. And while I understand, you know, to a certain extent, where the vegetarians are coming from, I'm just kind of like, you know, you're taking it a little too far. Some animals are food animals. And if you want to have a discussion about should we, you know, do things differently instead of these big mega farms that cause a lot of pollution and cause a lot of damage, and all the proteins and steroids and stuff that they throw into the animals, yeah, I'll have that discussion with you, because those are important issues. That's important stuff. But if you sit there and say that we weren't designed to eat meat, that's a bunch of crap. If you sit there and say we should cut out meat from all of our diet, I'm not going to buy that either. Go to a health food restaurant, ladies and gentlemen. Go to a health food restaurant and look at the people who are eating there, and they all look sick. They're all these skinny, wimpy little people that look like they could be blown over by a strong gust of wind. You know, that's why we eat so much here in Chicago, by the way, because if we don't eat a lot, the wind blows us the hell away. They don't call it the Windy City for nothing. Yes, it really gets its term from the windy politicians, the windbag politicians that we're famous for, but it really is a very windy city. Now, me, I'm a big guy. I got a big gut. And what I love about Chicago is that when you have food, you get a lot of it. I can order what they call an Italian beef. And I got to admit, I'd never heard of an Italian beef sandwich, just sliced beef that's spiced up a little bit and fried or grilled. I don't know what they do with it. But when they give you a grilled, an Italian beef sandwich, you get a huge sandwich. This thing is stacked. Who is it? Jeff Altman used to have a joke about he wanted to have a butt steak. I want a butt steak. 18 pounds of solid meat. Big and sweet. Nice and juicy. Nice and rare. Rare, real rare. You want a little hair growing out of one end. You want to be able to ride out of town on these things. On this thing. Then later on in his comedy routine, said, I want a butt steak. 23 pounds of solid meat. 18 pounds for dinner, 5 pounds for dessert. And I'm kind of like that. I'm a very much a meat and potatoes kind of guy. And I will eat, you know, my roommate gets on my case, and rightfully so, because I don't eat well. And again, it's something that I do agree with vegetarians with to a certain extent. We do have too much red meat in our diet, and I have too much red meat in my diet, probably, and too much pork. But, again, that's a reasonable argument. And how can you eat something that has eyes and look at you? Well, you know something? Those plants are alive, too. Just because they can't look back at you and look up with little Disney eyes doesn't mean they're any less alive. In order for you to live, in order for every one of us listening to the show to live, something's got to die. Whether you're talking about germs that are killed by our antibiotics and internally and externally, whether you're talking about food, or whether you're talking about food in the animal or vegetable, something's got to die, and you have to accept that. There's got to be a certain arrogance about you to accept that. But that's also true of every other animal. In order for a bird to live, it's got to eat worms. Some birds are meat eaters. They have crows here as well as pigeons, and I've seen them picking. I saw the neighbors toss the spare rib out on the street there. And the crows were picking at it. They eat meat. I'm rambling on about this, but my point is, people go too damn far. They can't be reasonable about something. It's like with anything else, with any other subject. You're not a vegetarian, I don't want to talk to you. Why are you killing the animals? You don't want to free the Cuba eight? Why, there's something wrong with you. Well, you know, I believe in election reform, like I said. Fix that and we'll free the Cuba eight. Fix that and we can get decent legislation on the regulation of the meat industry. We can do that. We can accomplish it. I'm all for it. But we can't do it if we don't talk to each other. If we don't understand that everything that we want is part and parcel of a much larger picture. And that's what I try to get people to understand. I try to get people to understand the bigger picture, the bigger scenario. We had Memorial Day on Monday, and I was reminded that Lincoln, when he gave the Gettysburg Address, and if you go to my blog, cupofjoe.blogspot.com, you'll see the repost that I had from last year's Memorial Day, the Cup of Joe report on the Memorial Day thing. When Lincoln was talking about in Gettysburg was not about saving the Union so much as about saving the human race, saving us from the worst part of ourselves. And I got to save you from a break. I got to save you from me while we go to a break. Give me a call. I really do want to talk to you because you know something? When I ramble on like this, it really isn't as much fun. So give me a call. 1-304-658-5453. 1-304-658-5453. Rah, rah, rah. The toll-free number, 1-877-443-2366. We'll be back with more of the Cup of Joe Radio Show here on the Head On Radio Network.
Yeah. the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, the problem with the so-called professional media has just as much to do with the news they're not telling you than it does with what they do tell you. If, for example, you were to believe what you see on TV or read in the newspapers, you would think that everything is just fine in New Orleans or along the Mississippi Gulf Coast. That's why unreportednews.net is so important. It's not just keeping us informed of the tragedy that's still unfolding on the Gulf Coast, it's helping to do something about it by helping families who have had their lives and livelihoods destroyed. Not just by a terrible natural disaster, but by the callous indifference of the current administration and their wealthy allies in the news media. UnreportedNews.net is taking the initiative to keep us focused on this tragedy, but they can't do it alone. They need your help. So please go to UnreportedNews.net and give what you can, and let others know what's happening there. Because the only thing worse than an unnecessary death is an unmourned one. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news.
Here's a little test for you. Identify the following water-saving devices around your home. Using water wisely is important, since our growing population puts pressure on this limited resource. Ready? That's water-saving device number 19, your outdoor faucet. Check faucets, sprinklers, and hoses for drips or leaks to save water and money. That's your toothbrush, water-saving device number 54. Turn the faucet off while you brush and save up to 25 gallons a month. It's water-saving device number 11, your water bill. If it's unusually high, you could have a leak. Learn to detect and repair leaks by contacting your water provider. Last clue? That's BeWaterSmart.net, a helpful website full of water-saving tips from the Water Conservation Coalition and your local water provider. There are a number of ways to save water, and they all start with you. Water, use it wisely.
This is the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, we're back on the Cup of Joe Radio Show. Once again, we're not so humble host, Joe Vecchio. Voice of the working man, thinking man, voice of those who have been unvoiced by the anti-worker policies of the Bush administration and its corporate allies. Second half hour of the show here. Second part of the show. I'm only doing an hour. That might change in the future. We shall see. I'm not making any announcements. I'm not making any comments except for the fact that radio things are always fluid and tend to change from month to month, week to week. So whatever, you can rest assured, whatever else happens, so long as there is a Head On Radio Network, and so long as they will have me here on the network, I will be there. If by some weird miracle I get picked up by some other radio organization or by a local station or another, somebody calls me up and say, hey, we want you to be on this show. We're going to pay you X amount of money. I will do what I can to see that the reruns, at the very least, get here on the Head On Network, because I am extremely loyal to these guys. They have stuck with me through thick and thin, as well as really we all too. And you know, I don't want to keep harping on the sponsorship and the money thing, you know, because it's just sad that we don't understand. You know, as somebody pointed it out a while ago, and I believe I've said it before, but I don't care. I'll say it again anyway. The right acts like liberals when it comes to use of money, and the left act like conservatives George Lakoff, and again, I'll repeat it, George Lakoff said, you know, the Republicans will give, or the right wing will give a group of people, a foundation, a think tank, or whatever, they'll give it $1 million and say, do what you need to do. The left will give somebody $50,000 and demand accountability for every penny, and demand control and demand oversight. I keep thinking what I would do if somebody would just give me $1 million to put stuff together. You know, where I would set up and you know, get a place that would be a combination home and office, putting together a network thing, you know, putting together the servers. And I think sometimes what would happen if somebody gave the Head-On Network what it needed to do? Maybe move Bob and Agnes out here to Chicago and establishing a commune of sorts, where we're all together and they got the Head-On studio, and then we're all living, you know, within fairly close proximity to each other. Not close enough to get on each other's nerves. And I keep thinking about that, and then I think, you know, it's just a damn pipe dream. It's just a damn pipe dream, it seems. I'm not saying, you know, one thing or another in any way, you know, I'm not saying it's definitely this or definitely that, but what I'm saying is that it's so beyond my ability to see where it's going to happen that it almost might as well be a pipe dream. And that's a shame. And I see everybody out there with their damn hands out. And I also see, you know, there are organizations on the left. I was with a group called PIRG, P-I-R-G. I wanted to work for them. And the only thing they wanted me to do is to go door-to-door and solicit contributions. And I'm not really cut out for that. There's other things that I can do. And I said, look, I think what you guys are doing are great, but I need, you know, to do something else. You know, because, you know, I'm not really good for just knocking on doors and pestering people. I feel that's rather annoying. Other people are good at that, you know. They say, nope, that's all we want you for. And we got paid a piddling amount. And there's a lot of places that want you to do that for free. You go to work for a politician or for a Democratic group, they demand that you work for free, that you volunteer your time, and that you donate your money. But if you're needy, if you need help, and you're faced with a choice between helping the cause and putting food on your table or paying your rent, they're all like, we don't want to know you. And that's a situation we all face on the left. And we all understand that. We just get frustrated with it from time to time. And I'm just bitching about it because that's all I do. And I don't know. I just don't know what else to do is just bitch about it. I could change the subject. Let me change the subject. I was one of my favorite websites is the Sideshow, Avedon Carroll's site, and she's an American who lives in England. And she had a really good thing. She had several things and talking about how England is really dealing with child pornography, or at least, you know, threatening people with child pornography. And how it's a way of intimidating people. Let me read you a little paragraph from that, from her talk about how they're using child porn to go after people. She writes, a while back, a friend of mine who was a mining activist had his house raided for child porn. The justification for this was that 25 or 30 years earlier, when they were going after him for being a gay activist, they tried to convince some kid he babysat for to say that he tried to sexually interfere with him. And the kid insisted that nothing of the kind had happened. But you see, my friend now had form. He had once been accused by the police, not the kid, of child abuse, so now he was a known child abuser. So here he was, decades later, annoying powerful mining companies, and the police suddenly appear at his doorstep and start going through his things. And among the extension of collection of photography books, they found the book of Sally Mann's photographs for children on sale at any bookstore. And presto, he was busted. Among other things, that meant they took his computers and all of his notes on the research and activism he'd been doing related to the mining companies. In other words, it brought his work to a halt. Convenient, eh? And you know, with viruses and Trojan horses all around, any kid from India or China or something can spam child porn onto your computer right this moment. They're very good at it. You can protect yourself if you want, but eventually if somebody's determined enough, they can get through and do it. And she says also, she says, remember there was a house in East London where the cops broke in and shot some guy because they heard a rumor that there might be someone who knew a terrorist living in that house. And then they found out that it had been a completely false lead. And we were appropriately outraged that the police had shot an innocent guy, blah, blah, blah. But it was amazing how fast that anger dissipated when the police announced that they'd found child pornography on someone's computer in that house. All you have to do is make the accusation. And we live in a society that's becoming more and more invasive of our privacy, of our private lives. And Avedon pointed out something else. It's not something that's being done in a centralized way by Big Brother. It's being done in a casual way in our everyday lives. It's not even necessarily centralized. It's just everything we do. The credit card company knows exactly where you're spending your money. The phone company knows exactly who you're calling, whether you're talking on your cell phone or talking on your landline. Your ISP can be used to trace every website you go to, everything you drew, everything you look at, every time you email. If someone is determined enough to find out all these details, they can find out. And that's the scary part. Because we're doing it to ourselves and we're not even aware of it. And I really don't have an answer. The only thing you can do is to have a government that actually operates by the will of the people instead of the will of the big corporations who are going to act in our best interests, because the power of the vote is the most important thing and not the power of the campaign money. In Britain, they outlaw selling mailing lists and things like that. And maybe that's a good idea. I think they do it in Europe, too. Maybe that's one thing we should do here. Maybe we should take steps to ensure more of our privacy when we buy things with a credit card. Because, you know, you're not going to get rid of the credit cards. You're not going to get rid of the debit cards. You know, they're a fact of life, and I think they're a very good and important thing. But we need to take steps to protect our privacy. And it's simply not going to happen the way things are going now. And again, like with everything else, there's so many big issues going on, it's tough to focus on any one thing in particular, and it's just so mind-boggling to see bad thing after bad thing happen, and I'm trying not to bring anybody down, because you know what, we got out of tougher messes before, and hopefully we'll get out of this one, and that things will be better in this country. It's just hard to see right now. And I'm hoping that people will get smart. It's not just enough to get angry to do something. You have to do more than just get angry. I don't know. Outrage fatigue. Let's take our Puffy AmiYumi break. Last segment coming up. Give me a call, 1-304-658-5453. Last chance to get in while the lines are open. 1-304-658-5453. Or, of course, the toll-free number, 1-877-443-2366. Give me a call. Give me a reason to talk. Or have somebody else talk for a while. We'll be back with more for the Cup of Joe Radio Show here in the Head On Network.
Hi kids, you know there's been a few questions about Who is this guy starting a gay conversation radio show on the Head On Radio Network? And what color is the sky in his world? Not to worry, I totally get it.
You're listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. An army of labor activists will be in the streets of 9 states this summer as Working America goes door to door to mobilize American working families. Working America is a 1.6 million member community affiliate of the AFL-CIO. Its members are workers who are not in unions. Working America's focus right now is on health care, and it plans to have 2.5 million members by Labor Day 2008. Helmets to Hard Hats is an apprenticeship program started in New York City in 2003 that helps military veterans, active duty personnel, and reservists to find good union jobs after they leave the service. Helmets to Hard Hats' Ann Trinkle says it's an excellent way to reward and honor those who served the country by helping transition them into solid middle class and higher jobs in the construction industry.
After the service that these young men and women have provided to our country, we feel as an industry it's only right that they should be rewarded with an opportunity to become the middle class or higher of the country.
Trinkle says the length of time spent in the Helmets to Hard Hats program varies according to the requirements of the particular trade involved. She says this program is a unique opportunity to help create the future, a good middle class future, for those who serve in the military.
Helmets to Hard Hats is the first time an industry as a whole has come together and with a national initiative that connects transitioning, active duty, and reserve component members with training and employment opportunities within the construction industry nationwide.
When bus drivers in Detroit were denied police protection for themselves and their passengers, they walked off their jobs just before the Memorial Day weekend. That solidarity got action. Henry Gaffney is president of Transit Workers 26 in Detroit.
We got drivers being assaulted, passengers being assaulted, people robbed, people shot at. My members just got fed up. The following day, the council did make a decision, and they did pass it so that we could get the Wayne County Sheriff's up on the bus.
United Food and Commercial Workers, Local 876 in Detroit, has a tentative contract agreement with Kroger covering 9,100 workers at 101 stores, but the union is facing the challenge of possible job losses at 66 Farmer Jack's grocery stores that are being sold by A&P. The union expects just 20 or so to remain operating as unionized stores owned by Kroger. ACORN, Association of Community Organizations for Reform Now, says there's a home foreclosure crisis nationwide following a decade of reckless subprime lending and mortgage marketing. ACORN activists this month protested the crisis by demanding that Denver's Office of Public Trustee institute a 6-month moratorium on foreclosures, and in Cleveland, ACORN activists interrupted a sheriff's auction May 14th to protest people losing their homes. As many as 2.2 million homes are at risk for foreclosure. You've been listening to WIND, Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Advertising on the Cup of Joe radio show is both easy and inexpensive. Ads that cost as little as $5 a piece are a bargain when you consider that the Cup of Joe show has an audience in the thousands for a live show, and that's not even counting the thousands more that listen on iTunes or at the archives on the White Rose Society. And all you have to do is email me at joe@cupjoe.com, that's cupjoe.com, to find out how you can advertise your blog, organization, or product. What are you waiting for? Email me now at joe@cupjoe.com, cupjoe.com, and let Internet radio ads work for you.
You're listening to the Head On Radio Network.
Okay, and we're back here on the Cup of Joe radio show. And yeah, buy an ad. You know, I don't want to ask for donations. I feel bad asking for donations. And you know, it's really not necessary. Buy an ad. They're cheap. Go to my site, cupofjoe.blogspot.com, and click down where it says become a sponsor. It doesn't cost a whole lot. You know, as little as $5 per ad if you buy them in bulk. And that's very cheap. You know, radio ads are expensive if you go to a regular radio station. And you get a much wider audience here. You get audiences from all over the world, especially if you've got something you want to sell online. You know, so it's a good bargain. Take advantage of it and help me out, you know, because I would like to go through a month or two without having to worry about, you know, not just paying the rent, but having enough money to put something aside for a change, which I never seem to do. It's always paycheck to paycheck. So, anyway, I've been trying to keep track of the things going on in Iraq and stuff like that. I try not to turn everything off and deal with it. And I was reading about the attack of the helicopter in Afghanistan. And there's another war that we're losing. And we're losing that basically because, you know, we took all the troops that we could have used in Afghanistan and moved them over to Iraq. And everybody knows this is not new to you. You know, if you're listening to the show, if you're a right winger listening to the show, well, you know, screw you anyway. That's my attitude towards the right wing. I just read a comment on somewhere, and it's very true, I think, that the Bush people here and the people who are in charge, the people at the White House, the leadership of the Republican Party and all that, they're very good at slaughter, but they're not very good at war. And they don't understand. They don't understand history. They don't understand that this is not the business world. In the business world, a CEO gives an order, and people rush around to make it work, and the CEO looks, you know, feels like he's doing his job by making people do stuff. But, of course, the people who really do it very rarely get rewarded for it. Maybe sometime they get to be the CEO and dump on other people, okay? And when Bush says he's the CEO president, he's not kidding. That's how he does it. You know, I give an order, and I expect it to be followed. And as Atrios and other people keep pointing out, we are not leaving Iraq so long as George Bush is in office, period. He'll talk about lessening troops, you know, lessening troop strength or sending some troops up, but he's not serious. He's not going to do it. He doesn't want to do it because to him, leaving is losing. He's an executive. He gave an order, and it's going to happen. And it boggles my mind, the stupidity of the right wing. And, you know, we've been getting a bunch of trolls in the BartCop chat room. BartCop.com is still going strong. And BartCop's chat room. I still have a lot of friends there. And we've been getting an awful lot of trolls in there lately. And it's like, after all this time and after everything that's happened, there's still people defending Bush, defending the Republicans. And it's like, you just want to smack them. You can't believe the unbelievable stupidity of these people. They're unbelievably stupid. Above and beyond the normal bounds of stupid. And they have no credibility. And I love to say it this way. If you took all the credibility right-wingers had right now and rolled it up into a ball and put it on the edge of a razor blade, it would look like a pea rolling down a four-lane highway. That is how much integrity they have. That is to say, none. So why is their viewpoint so prevalent in the national media, the so-called professional media? Why is it so prevalent everywhere? It's because the one thing they excel at is getting money. Whether it means, well, hell, let's just say it, they're just crooks. Stealing other people's money is what they excel at. And hanging on to it. And, you know, when they throw money at the right-wing think tanks and the other right-wing organizations, they're not throwing it away, you know, expecting nothing to come back. They're using it as an investment. They're waiting to they're waiting to get a return on it. And the return isn't necessarily monetarily in a direct fashion. The return is the politics of it. That's why Rush Limbaugh stays on the air, even when in areas where his ratings have gone way down, because no one's buying his BS anymore. He stays on the air because his advertisers will continue to fund the show because they want that message going out. And, you know, and to them, I can understand that because this is what they want. You know, they want it, so it doesn't surprise me the things that they do. What boggles my mind are the people who come on the chat rooms and cause trouble and act like jerks. And I'm wondering, are they being paid for this? Are they being paid to show for people who are stealing from them? Because that's the only way I could see it. So the guy at the block just knocks you in your head and stole $20. I think I'll put up a sign supporting him for local sheriff. That's why I tell you, every single day I want you to think, every minute, all the time, I want you to imagine that the Bush administration, the Republican leadership, and their corporate allies are right there. Right there in your house, with a gun to your head, metaphorically speaking. Well, hell, you know, well, it is metaphorically, all of it. Robbing you blind. And the only protection you have against that is to stand up there with your fellow brothers and sisters in the workforce with metaphorical guns to their head. Stopping them. Because you can say, I can say this about poor people. You know, you can, you know, all the generalities and all the other stuff that you talk about with poor people, whether they're, you know, whether they deserve it or not. No, no. The one thing you can say about poor people is that there are a lot more of them than there are the rich people. And enough of them get pissed off, things happen. And not necessarily good things. As I keep pointing out, the reign of terror that happened after the French Revolution was worse than what the nobility of France ever did. But you know what? The nobility of France brought it on themselves. Just as the corporate powers, if we get mad enough that the pitchforks and torches come out, they will have brought it on themselves. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't want the pitchforks and torches. I don't want that. I believe in peaceful political solutions. But if they're not forthcoming, where's my bat? And I don't ask for a lot out of life. I just want to live in a world where if you go to work and you work hard, you can support yourself. As President Clinton says, if you work hard and play by the rules, that you succeed and not fail. And there's a lot of people who are working hard and playing by the rules are failing. And failing. Going paycheck to paycheck. I have people telling me it's amazing that I'm not doing better financially because, you know, they say I'm a bright guy, blah, 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 blah. And the truth is, a lot of it is my fault because, you know, I don't want to say I've given up, but I'm so it's so difficult to look for work nowadays. I'm a 45-year-old guy with not much to show for my life, but I struggle on as best I can. And we all struggle on. But I want to live in a world where at least if I'm working, I can get my rent paid and still have enough money to go out and, you know, go to a burger joint every now and then. Or to not have to have furniture that's basically boxes with a piece of wood stacked on top of it. I don't ask for a lot. I don't need a lot. But what I do need is to get hung up here because this is the end of the show. God, it's run out so quickly. These hours go by so fast. The Cup of Joe Radio Show has been produced by the Head On Radio Network, the lovely and wonderful Agnes Kincaid. Agnes Kincaid. God almighty, what's wrong with me? The lovely and wonderful Agnes Kincaid running the board today. The Cup of Joe Radio Show is sponsored by UnreportedNews.net. UnreportedNews.net, your source for real news. We'll be back tomorrow. Hopefully, Carol Kay. I haven't spoken to her in a bit, but I'll give you an email. Carol Kay from MakeThemAccountable.com will join us. And it's weird to say because I'm heading off to bed after this because my work day ends. But to everybody, get back to work. With the cream of steam, how many more does that leave? Give me a pot of scotch, heat up a pan of stem, throw in a handful of dicks, that'll do. To the crap of mass upon a tray. This is the Quality News Network. Federal health officials are trying to determine how an Atlantic man infected with
extremely dangerous strain of tuberculosis was able to evade authorities and travel through six countries. When the CDC tracked him down in Rome and ordered him not to travel, the man and his wife fled. Authorities say the man carried medical masks, but witnesses on one of his transatlantic flights said he didn't bother to put it on. In southern Afghanistan, a Chinook helicopter was shot down last night, killing five Americans, a Canadian, and a British soldier. NATO rescue troops hurrying to the scene were ambushed by Taliban rebels and were forced to call in air support. In Fallujah, a suicide bomber detonated himself in a line of potential police recruits this morning. 25 people were killed, 50 wounded. In Cuba, a Saudi Arabian prisoner at Guantanamo Bay committed suicide yesterday, the fourth detainee to do so since the facility opened up in 2002. 380 prisoners are held at the camp. Two have been charged with the crime. Australia and the Philippines today signed a treaty designed to improve security in the region. Australian troops will train Filipino forces in counterinsurgency techniques. Muslim extremists are a serious problem in the southern Philippines. Israel is willing to relinquish $700 million in Palestinian tax revenues, provided none of the funding falls into the hands of Hamas. The U.S. and EU have helped design a mechanism to funnel the money to the more moderate Fatah party of President Mahmoud Abbas. The FBI says its annual crime report, to be released next week, will show an increase in murder, robbery, and other felonies. It is the second consecutive year violent crime has grown in the U.S. In New York, this is the Quality News Network. The world is paying tribute today to operatic tenor Luciano Pavarotti, who died this morning in Italy. The 71-year-old had pancreatic cancer. Syria's news agency says Israeli warplanes crashed into Syrian territory this morning and bombed unidentified targets. No word yet on casualties or damage. Israel did not deny the report but refused comment. German authorities say they're searching for 10 more men involved in the Islamic terrorist plot to attack Frankfurt Airport and the U.S.